All right. Glad to get started back in here again this evening. I didn't know if I was actually going to get to be here this week. I was on vacation. Mark was prepared to stand in for me, so I'm sure he's relieved a little bit, but I'm glad to be here as well to continue our study over the one true church. So last week we finished up our first topic of who founded the church. We talked about the pretty much five different key topics. Was who founded the church? He talking about Christ to explain the fact we were able to answer the question. He's the purchaser, the founder. He's the head, the builder. All the such that's associated with that. Again, when this study is over, I want you to confidently be able to answer these same questions. Who established the church? What's the conditions to join the church? What's the acts of worship that the church does? What is the terminology used to describe itself? The doctrine that it follows? How is it recognized? And is it denominational? So again, last week we finished off with our topic, which was establishing that Christ was the lawgiver, the Savior. Had some good points taken from that one as well, some good comments. This week, this starts our avenue of the conditions to join the church. So we established the fact that Christ was the founder. We established the fact that when we talk to others that Jesus is recognized, and we've explained how that he created the church. Now what we need to try to help understand is what's the conditions to join the church. So we'll go through this section. It'll be about five different things as well. Tonight we're going to be studying a little bit about hearing and believing. So establishing the first two parameters of what we know as the conditions to join. So again, our scripture, Matthew 16:18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Again, we answered the question, who founded the church that we worship at? We were able to put that, the answer to that question was Jesus Christ. Again, tonight we're going to start to understand what are the conditions to join Christ's church or to be a member of the church. Well, let's take a look and establish a little bit about what does being a member actually mean. The Greek word for member is melos. And I thought it was interesting that this was a definition of one that I found through online studies. But it was a little saying that said, to be a member of something, one must join that something. In order to participate in things that are partaking of it, you have to join that thing that's being partaken of. The body, as we know through our studies, has multiple members. The physical body itself. That make it up and are joined together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 states what? For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So what's our first topic? Hearing. Most famous passage, if you'd like to turn there, we can read it. Most of you may know it by memory now. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Where it establishes this, it says, so then faith, which some can come to understand that faith could also mean belief, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We established the fact that there, hearing can be related to in the scriptures as multiple different things. As verbs, as you most commonly see it, to hear, to be heard of, is another form of that. And we're going to study a little bit about that. So Romans 10:17 establishes that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why is hearing important? That's what we need to establish first. So turn with me now to Mark chapter 4. Let's take a little passage out of that. Mark chapter 4. We'll read in verse 23. Actually, let's take it back up to 22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Here's a famous line that we all hold dear. If any man have ears to hear, let him what? Let him hear. We're establishing the fact that the scriptures are telling us we must hear something, and we're establishing the importance behind that. So, what does it mean to hear? Again, just like our study in the past, when we're going to have a little bit of Greek terminology that goes along with this as well. So akouo, which means to hear. In this version of it, it's represented as a verb, or which means an action is required. Let's look at Acts 23. Turn with me there, and we'll read starting at verse 32. Acts 23, verse 32. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle. Make sure I had that right. Yeah. Acts 23, 32. Yeah. On the morrow they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle, who, when they came to Caesarea, was and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, he says what? I will, here's our word, hear thee. Said he, when your accusers are also come, and he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. This again is just relating that back to different versions of the word here and attributing that to the verb itself. That was Paul that was tried before Felix. And in Acts 16, turn with me over there. Acts 16, starting at verse 25, we see, and at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. There's the use of our word. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out a sword, would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Now that's a synonymous word. It doesn't really mean the same thing there. Here, that's establishing a place. But Paul, the jailer hears. The prisoners hear. There is an establishment of hearing that's related to the scriptures. In this instance, which I thought was kind of interesting in a study, it was again to save his life, and we make that correlation, hearing to salvation. In Revelations, we also know through our studies, in various studies, that the common phrase, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Another form of hearing, eisakuo, which means to listen to. So we see a different form of that. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 21 tells us, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will, they not hear me, saith the Lord. See another version of that in Acts 2, 36 through 39, which we will see a lot of predominantly with hearing. Acts 2, 36 states that, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they did what? Not when they saw it. Not when they felt it. Right? When they heard it. They were pricked in their heart, said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord, our God, shall call. We see that the same use of hearing. Hearing requires an action in itself to hear. Some physically have the inability to hear, but they can make out things through their eyes and understand through different aspects of life. Hearing essentially the same words. But we see that hearing is used so frequently in the scriptures as it relates to Christ, as it relates to the church, we see here, just even in this one right here, there's a few things that's mentioned here that we'll go on throughout our study to help establish, continuing again, going back to Christ establishing the church. Hearing also relates back to certain factors of this. Repent and be baptized. Okay, so we see that there's here, there's repent, there's be baptized. For what? There's a specific recipient of, there's a exact transaction essentially that's happening with this. From this step of hearing, from first, they were pricked at the heart. It established an emotion. It continued to go through and said that there was other factors that represents here, which we'll study later on. Just a few chapters over, one that were very common was seen is Acts chapter 8 in verse 27-38. If you'd like to turn over there, we'll read that one. I also have it on the board as well. Acts 8 verse 27. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah, the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near, join yourself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet. There's the here. There's our use of this term. And heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaks the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me to be baptized? Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he baptized him. He commanded the chariot to stand still. They both went down to the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. We can see the use of hearing throughout this entire passage right here. He heard him reading. He helped him understand what he was trying to read. That required Philip to hear as well. In this same aspect, the eunuch listened. He heard Philip. That required an action on his part, which triggered a set of things that was to come. He heard him. He asked him what he needs to do, and he tells him. But he wouldn't have done that unless he hadn't established hearing first. Hearing requires the want to hear and the willingness to hear. So what does it mean to hear? Well, for God to hear us, we must first hear what he has to say. And turn with me to John chapter 9 and verse 31. What does God say about that? John 9:31. Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he hears. God hears us, but we must first again establish what we have to understand what he has to say, and that requires us to hear that. Do I need to listen to what God says? Again, when we're trying to answer these questions, a lot of the world, they don't think like this. And so, is it important for us to listen to what God says? Well, just turn over to a few chapters before that in John chapter 5. Let's see what that says. John 5 and verse 19 through 25. He says, Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what these things soever he does, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honors not the Father, or excuse me, he that honors not the Son honors not the Father which has sent him. Listen to what this next verse says. Verily, verily, or surely, surely, I say unto you, he that does what? Hears my word and does what? And believes on him that sent me has what? Everlasting life. There is a reward for hearing. There is a reward for belief. And shall not come into condemnation. There's an escape of something that we don't actually receive, but is passed from death unto life. So we see that hearing is required. But as we noticed in this, which brings us to our next point, for conditions to join, we see that belief is another portion of that. That's leading us right into part of these conditions to join. Acts 18, verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house. Many of the Corinthians hearing, see, there's our first word, then what? They did what? They believed. And then we'll see that they were also done something else after that. They were baptized. So, if we established why hearing was important, we must establish why belief is important. As we see that that's so correlated so many times in the scriptures. Look at Hebrews 11, at verse 6, to see what that says. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 states that what? Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, number one, and that he is what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, we're establishing why belief is important. He that comes to God, if you want to believe in God, if you hear that he is, you believe that this is the same God that you're talking about, you must believe that he is, and that he is also a rewarder of them that diligently do what? It's an action that seeks him. It requires action on the part of the believer. So again, we understand that belief is broken down into different facets of belief. We see that there are verbs and that there are nouns of that. Pisteuo, I believe that's pronounced how it's correctly, is a verb. It means to believe or to be persuaded of, place confidence in, trust, rely upon. That is belief in the verb sense. Matthew, I thought that was kind of interesting. Excuse me, Matthew uses the verb itself 10 times, Mark 10 times, Luke 9 times, and John 99 times, according to Vines. I thought that was an interesting aspect of that as well. John has the most frequent use of the verb. The first was being in John chapter 1 and verse 50. We see another form of that verb in John 3:16. He that believeth and is baptized, there's the belief, believeth, that is used actually as a verb, requires an action. Pytho is another verb form of that word belief. Which means to persuade, to get somebody to believe and to persuade them. It can signify to also to suffer oneself to be persuaded. So there's two alternate versions of that as well. Luke 16 in verse 31, speaking of the rich man and Lazarus. Luke 16, let's turn over there real quick. Luke 16 and verse 31. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they what? Be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. There's the use of the verb in itself of belief, pytho, to persuade. They won't be persuaded. They won't believe it, even though one rose from the dead. Pistes, which treats belief as a noun. Faith can sometimes be translated as belief. We see that in Romans 10:17 that we read earlier. My mind's drawing a blank right here, even though we just read it earlier. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Sorry about that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. We're going to look at another quick session of that as well. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through a sanctification of the Spirit and what? Belief on the truth. There is an action on that. We are establishing belief. Again, through all these different, whether it's a verb, whether it's a noun, we see that belief still comes back to Christ, talking about our founder, the founder of the church, why we worship. Hearing is established first, because you can't believe anything if you don't hear what you need to believe in. Examples of belief are written throughout the scriptures. John 1 in verse 12. But as many as received him, to him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that did what? That believe on his name. John 6, just a few chapters over, starting at verse 61. Jesus knew that his disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, does this offend you? What if you shall see a Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should also betray him. He said, therefore said I come unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by the Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. That one always stuck with me there. But they were willing to hear him. They didn't want to go with him anymore. Then Jesus said also unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that what? That thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. We see even questioning some of the disciples, their belief didn't even stick. They didn't want to believe it and walk with them no more. The rest that did understood the fact of what they believed in. Romans 9:33. Touch over there real quick. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. Whosoever what believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Our belief is an example of what we hear. It's an example of the things that we truly believe in. Faith, honestly the best definition of faith that I've ever seen in my entire life. There ain't no dictionary, nothing else that can compare to it, other than Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I've never found a better definition of faith or belief other than that right there. We see Romans 4 verse 17 and 18. One that sticks out to me, more examples of belief, was Job's response. We know that Job was a man of great belief. He heard a lot. Let's turn over there and read about his example real quick of his belief. Job chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He believes, he has surety of that. He understands that something's coming for him. He believes in that. He establishes his belief for that. In his response, Job 19:25 with that. Hebrews 11:13, there is by faith many of these were taken care of. We see that in all through Hebrews. Hebrews 11:13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, or what? They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They believed in something greater than themselves. We see another version of this to establish. Turn with me to Ephesians 1. And let's read a couple of verses from there as well. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15, starting. Wherefore I also, after I what? Heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of His glory, of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who what? There's the use of our word. Belief. According to what? The working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above what? Far above all principality, above power, might, dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under His feet, gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is what? The body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. The body is complete with all the members of it. To join this body, we've established hearing. We see here, even in verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. We established hearing earlier in that. Sorry about that. In verse 115. Wherefore I also, after heard of your faith, there it was, in the Lord Jesus, love unto all the saints. Hear about the love for the Lord Jesus that was confirmed with their belief, as you notice later on. Belief is an action. Hearing is an action. Belief is an action. All things established to a center point around Christ. So again, we were able to answer a lot of these questions to start the conditions to join Christ's church. We established that it was Christ. We've established what is required essentially to get in. But we're not done here. There is more that the scriptures tell us that we read about in a lot of those other passages. We see that, and this is going to go into next week, that a couple other terms that we've read about tonight in relationship to this is repent and confess. Acts 2:38 that we saw there, confession. We've seen in other ones that with Philip and the eunuch in Acts chapter 8. So we've established that there are other parameters, not only hearing and belief, but there are other parameters that's required to join the church. And so we'll continue to work through those. Through our studies coming into next week. As we close up, is there any other additional thoughts, comments? No? All right. Thank you.